Psalm 27, we are looking at verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now I read, and I don't know where they get this particular number from, but I read that Americans spend roughly 37 billion hours each year waiting in line. Now, how they come up with that figure, I mean, you know, it's not like you can take a poll and, you know, how long did you wait in line today, you know, at the store? But I don't know about you. I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting in line. And I'm famous, you know, for going and going back and forth and probably wasting more time looking for the shortest line, you know, at the store. But waiting, when we think about waiting, we think of patience. And in fact, one translation actually inserts the word patiently, wait on the Lord patiently. That's not in the original Hebrew language, but the translators added that. James, in his letter, he links patience to trials. And he said, you know, we are to count it all joy when we go through these various trials and we go through things in life that are difficult. And why is that? He said, because it is those very trials that you are going through that God uses to develop patience within the life of the believer. Now, most scholars agree that David was going through severe trauma during the writing of this psalm. Either he was fleeing from the wrath of King Saul during one of the extreme fits of jealous rage that we know Saul was capable of, or he was running away from that rebellion created by his treasonous son Absalom. And he writes these words, wait upon the Lord. And number one, we recognize that waiting, it is a command. Wait on the Lord. David understood that there's this connection between spiritual empowerment and waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What you and I need most in life is we need the very power of God. I recognize that my abilities within my human flesh, they are so limited. And how many of you would agree with that and say, yes, you know, as a human being, I have frailties and I have weaknesses, and there's just areas of my life where I'm not strong and I need the very strength of God. And personally, I'm so thankful that I have the Lord. In fact, I just don't know. I cannot imagine life without God. I cannot imagine living a day without knowing the Lord. I can't imagine going even, you know, through any trial whatsoever without having that assurance that God is there, he's with me, that I can wait on him, and that he strengthens me and that he empowers me. One of the questions that we struggle with is really, how do I wait on God? How do I wait on the Lord? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. First of all, just from the Bible, we know that we are to wait upon the Lord for direction. And you say, well, you know, I don't like waiting on God. In fact, I think a lot of people, you know, you might believe, use waiting on God as an excuse really to do nothing at all. G. Campbell Morgan, you know, I don't often quote somebody, but this is worth bringing into the message this morning. He said this. He said, waiting for God, it's not laziness. He said, waiting for God is not, it's not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. He said, waiting for God just means, first of all, that it is activity under command. And I actually really liked that. It's that we're not doing nothing. It's just that whatever we're doing, even if it's nothing, it is under the command of God. And you do not proceed without that command. So it's activity under command. He said, second, he said, it's readiness for any new command that might come. In other words, you're waiting on the Lord and you recognize, well, maybe I don't have all the information that I need. And I'm going to wait upon the Lord. He said, third, he says, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. And I have found that maybe to be the most difficult of what he said. I don't like doing nothing. I feel like I've got to do something. Have you ever felt like you needed to help God out? Lord, God, you know, there's nothing happening here. Let me help you out. And that's our mentality so often. I've got to help God out. I know what I'm doing. You know, Jesus, he told his disciples, and this is something that we uniquely share as believers. Listen to what he said. He said, go, and he said, wait for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and to guide you. Now, these are the men that have been following Jesus for during his ministry, and he said to them, however, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. In other words, don't take one step out into the ministry. Don't do anything until you, first of all, you receive that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. So the question is, will the Holy Spirit, will the Spirit of God speak to you and I and to give us specific direction? Well, he's been doing it for thousands of years. There are some who believe, well, you know, the Holy Spirit is not doing the things today that, you know, why would God decide now when we need it more than ever to pull back? He doesn't. He's working in the same way that he has always worked. The Spirit of God speaking into the heart, speaking truth. The apostles heard directly from the Holy Spirit. Now, how does he speak? Well, I think that he certainly speaks through his written word that we're studying this morning, the Word of God. Sometimes he will speak through another brother or sister in Christ. You need to hear something. And a brother and sister in Christ will come, and God has already spoken to them and say, go speak to, you know, JD about this. And I have found that even when God is speaking through someone else, it's usually something he has already spoken to me about first. And that secondary is somewhat of a confirmation. Or he has shared with me something in his word, and then somebody comes and confirms. And so often. Now, I have known people who have thought that God had told them something only to discover to their dismay that what they heard, obviously, was not from the Lord. It wasn't the voice of God. It is always wise to seek confirmation through the Word of God, through others, brothers and sisters in Christ. But we must wait upon the Lord. David made it his lifelong habit to ask God for direction. Are you asking God for direction this morning? What does the Word of God have to say about seeking his direction? Well, the writer of Proverbs said, trust in the Lord. In other words, you're not trusting in yourself. He said, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. You're going to give your whole heart over to the direction of God. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be putting trust in your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? He's going to guide, lead, and he's going to direct your path. I think that's the most wonderful promise that we have when it comes to the direction of God, is just being certain God cares about the direction that we take, and he will lead us, he will guide us. Another way that we wait upon the Lord, not just for direction, we wait upon the Lord for instruction. We are a people who need to learn, we need to be instructed, and so David wrote in Psalm 25, he said, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. David had learned in his life that he needed instruction. He needed that word of God to be coming in from God, and he waited for that. You remember when David first sought to transport the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. He did not wait upon God. He did not get proper instruction. You remember the ox stumbled, and that poor man Uzzah, he reached out to steady the Ark, and he was, I mean, God had to deal with him according to the law right there on the spot, and Uzzah fell down dead. David was frightened. And he recognized and he took responsibility that he had not waited upon the instruction of God. And so he went back and he received that instruction from the Lord. And he said in 2 Samuel, David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? God, give me the instruction that I need. I think that it's wise. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I personally have a certain amount of just respect and a godly, healthy fear of doing anything without waiting upon the Lord, getting His instruction first. That is why the Word of God is vital to our lives daily. In fact, I'm surprised sometimes when people come with questions about life issues, they're so clearly addressed in the Bible, and it's like, this is so clear what you are to do. And yet sometimes people struggle with this idea of getting direction from God. Have you noticed when it comes to the Word of God, many times people treat it as if it is a buffet? You know, it's like the lubies of the Bible. I'll take some of this. I'll take a little bit of that. Oh, I don't like that. No, I'm not going to, I won't do that. I don't like that. I would prefer to do it this way. But when it agrees with them, they, you know, they like it and they will take it and they will consume it. But when they disagree with it, they will turn away from it. And that is so often with the Word of God. Other times people misapply the Word of God. They take God's Word and they make it into something else that God never intended. There is this story about a panda. Now, the panda walked into a restaurant. He sat down and he ordered a sandwich. And after he had finished eating the sandwich, the panda pulled out a gun. The panda shot the waiter. And then he stood up to leave. And the manager yelled, "Hey, where are you going? You just shot my waiter and you didn't pay for your sandwich." The panda yelled back at the manager, "Hey man, I'm a panda. Look it up. I'm a panda. Look it up." And so the manager opened his dictionary. He looked down at the definition for panda. A tree dwelling of Asian origin, characterized by distinct black and white coloring, eats shoots and leaves. Oh, some of you are not getting it yet. Eat shoots and leaves, you know, that's what pandas eat. Well, he ate, he shot, and he left. There you go. That is instruction misapplied. People take that concept too far with the Bible. They will read something and they will create their own definition from what they have read. When you read the Word of God for instruction, you need to make sure that you understand its context. You need to make certain that you understand its true meaning, and you need to make sure that you apply it correctly. This is a huge problem within the church. How many times have you heard a TV evangelist get up and say, "I have a vision"? And they tell you what their vision is, and they use the passage and they say, "The Word of God says, for the lack of vision, the people perish." And really what they want to do is they want to get you on board with what they want to do. And so they misapply the scripture because that particular passage has nothing to do with receiving a vision. That was referring to Israel, who refused to listen to the word of God through the prophets. And they perished. And it has nothing to do with any person's personal vision. And so we have to be careful about instruction misapplied. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have not shunned, I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God." And that's why it's important to know all the Bible and not just little pieces here and there. We need to understand God's counsel in its entirety if we are going to receive his instruction and apply it appropriately. Now, there's a third way that we wait upon God. David understood that waiting upon the Lord meant meditation upon God and upon the Word of God. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. And in Psalm 1, David said, I meditate upon his word. How often? It's day and night. I'm continually meditating upon the word of God. Pastor Chuck, this is the first time I'd heard this, but I related to it. Pastor Chuck Smith, he would compare meditation to a cow chewing its cud. Now, those of you who have grown up out in the country, you've noticed this about a cow, and you've driven by maybe a field and you see cows, and you've ever noticed that you'll see a cow that is laying under a tree and it's just chewing. You say, what is that cow chewing on? Well, what that cow is chewing on, you know that a cow has multiple stomachs. And so when that food, when it passes between stomachs and it needs to, the cow wants to reprocess that food, you and I, we call it acid reflux. But the cow regurgitates this food, and to the cow, this is very tasty the second time. And so the cow will chew that food over and over again, and you'll hear this gurgling sound. I'm very familiar with that sound, and you hear a gurgling sound and a belching, and they bring it up and they chew it again. That's the idea of meditation. It's like you don't just take the word of God and say, well, you know, I read that. You are to meditate upon God's word. In other words, you're continually bringing it up in your mind and you think about it on a continual basis. What is it that God is telling you? What has he spoken to you? And so waiting upon the Lord means to be meditating and thinking upon the word of God. According to Psalm 1, David meditated upon the Lord day and night. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, he said, finally, brethren, he said, whatever you're going to think about, and in this day and age, how vital it is that we take these words. He said, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, he said, if there is any virtue, if there is anything that is praiseworthy, he said, be meditating upon these things. In our day and age, we find this is a struggle. Because we are competing with an internet. We are competing with social media. We are competing with gaming. We're competing with all these things that would take our attention away from the good and the praiseworthy and the lovely things of God and place it upon worthless activity. And that's the day that we live in today. And so Paul, finally, brethren, this is how you need to meditate. So not only do we wait in meditation, there's one finally, we wait with expectation. In fact, that Hebrew word for waiting in this psalm, that word is the Hebrew, it's kavah, kavah. Do you know what that word means? I didn't know what it meant until I looked it up. It means to expect. You're waiting with a sense of expectation. There was a missionary in Burma back in the 1800s. It's a Dr. Judson. And for 20 months, he was imprisoned. He was in this filthy, horrible jail, smelly. He was shackled with 32 pounds of chains around his ankles. His feet were tied, not only that, they were tied to a bamboo pole. I mean, they were making this guy suffer. There was a fellow prisoner who looked at him in a sarcastic tone, and he said, Dr. Judson, What about the prospect of conversion of the heathen? There was an instant reply. The prospects are as just and as bright as the promises of God. He never failed to believe in the promises of God. God has made some over 3,000 promises in His Word for us to look to expectantly. So when we read the Word of God and we read the promises of God, we are to take Him at His Word and say, I expect God is going to come through. There's an expectation. Wait upon the Lord expectantly. Number two, waiting upon the Lord produces courage. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. That word courage in the Hebrew, it means to be strong. Throughout history, believers have needed courage. Not just believers in Jesus Christ, but believers even before, you know, the ministry of Jesus, those who were looking forward to Jesus, those prophets of God, those men and women of God too, waiting upon the Lord. But as they were waiting, the Word of God says they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. You know, we live in a day and age where we want to trust the Lord. We want to believe in Jesus, but we want comfort. And unfortunately, many of the sermons that we hear are intended just to bring comfort. But in that day and at that time, they went through tremendous obstacles and fear for their lives, and they needed courage, they needed strength. Think about that. If those around you were being martyred, put to death. Some crucified, sawn in two, and fed to the lions. What courage you would need. Waiting upon the Lord, it produces courage. And so you ask, well, where does that great courage come from? I mean, is it just, you know, that some people are born with an amazing courage? I don't believe so. In fact, most of us were born with cowardice. It's more of our tendency to be fearful and to avoid that which would bring us harm. There's a story about a man who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion, and he did it with his pocket knife. And someone asked him, he said, well, why didn't you cut off the lion's head first? The man replied, well, somebody had already done that. And I believe that's the type of courage that many times we have. We're okay. We have courage as long as there is no real threat. That's the common sort of courage that we have today. But that's not genuine courage. Real courage is what you receive from the Lord when you need it, in the time of trouble. Verse 14, wait upon the Lord, be of good courage. And He shall strengthen your heart. The prophet Isaiah, but those who wait, same word, kavah, expectantly, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will not be faint. David had spent a life waiting upon the Lord, and he was a man of great courage. And you know, the disciples, they had the same problem with courage. Jesus said, all of you shall be made to stumble because of me this day, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep, and the flock will scatter. You remember Peter? Peter thought he was a man of courage. What did Peter do? He said, oh, you know, not me, Lord. That'll never happen to me. I'll never leave you. I'll never run. And of course, we knew that Peter ran away in shame, denying that he even knew Jesus. There's only one remedy. He had to wait upon the Lord. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The following day of Pentecost, those cowardly disciples were transformed by the Holy Spirit into the greatest evangelists that have ever walked the earth. They faced death. They faced imprisonment. They faced torture. But they never backed down again. And the Holy Spirit filled those former cowards with great courage. Do we need courage today? Does my faith endanger my life? You may say, well, no, not exactly. But do we really need to be strong and courageous today? The writer of Ephesians, Paul, he said, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are engaged in a spiritual battle. You have a spiritual enemy. You have one who would drag you down and attempt to defeat you. Do you need courage today? You do. I need courage. There are wicked forces poised to strike at us. And we need the courage, the strength that God gives. I believe sometimes it's an emotional assault. How many of you have been assaulted emotionally, maybe even recently? You've gone through something and in your mind it's there's an oppression or a depression or there's something that takes a hold and you feel that there's something attempting to bring you down. Satan, many times he attacks us emotionally. Sometimes it's a physical assault. Sometimes it's something just to distract you. I go through the craziest things that are distractions. My distraction to this morning, very simple. I mean, I had traveled this week, and when I got home, I mean, my foot was itching like crazy, and I took my shoe off, and I showed Delene, and there's these two bites on my foot, and I still don't know what it is, you know. It's like I look at it, itching last night like crazy, and then keeping me awake. And then looking at it this morning and still itching, and I thought, well, gosh, what am I going to do during the sermon? Am I going to do this? You know, praise God, it's not itching right now. But there are distractions. The Lord may have sent distractions to even attempt to keep you from coming today. Not the Lord, the Satan, pardon me. But the Lord wanted you here. And God brings us in spite of those distractions that he overcomes. So sometimes there's physical assaults. And if you're living for Jesus, there certainly will be a spiritual assault. And Satan, he is still using the same old fear, intimidation tactics that have always been used. And so today, yes, do we need courage? Do we need strength? What is the answer? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Notice with me that David repeats the command. He says, wait, I say, upon the Lord. So that emphasis of just waiting upon God for all that you need. Waiting upon the Lord. This is David's way of saying, don't ignore this command. Don't ignore, you know, tomorrow morning is the beginning of a new day. It's the beginning of a new week, a busy week. You will be working. Maybe you might be traveling. You're going to have thoughts that are going to compete against what God wants you to be thinking about. And the question is, will the message of today be lost tomorrow? Will you walk out of here today and that was a nice message and then you forget about it? David is essentially saying, don't forget. Wait upon the Lord. A.W. Tozer said, throw yourself upon the greatness of God with expectation. Great way to start your week. Before you get out of bed tomorrow morning, it's a great way to begin your day to say, Lord, I'm waiting on you with a sense of expectation. Don't even begin your day until you have begun, first of all, to wait upon the Lord with a sense of expectation from God. That's waiting upon the Lord. And as you do, you will discover the same strength, the same courage, the same endurance as God gave to David, he will give to you. And Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and that you've invited us to wait. We love you and thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.